now, starting 1, 2, 3. I've just started the audio. Roadcaster is not. I've started the OBS. Hewlett Packard. Got a new background. Let's see how this is going to work. I am now going to be recording. I'm going to go over to Skype. I'm going to do Richard Stewart. Okay, we've got that there. And I am going to give him a call. Active now.
Hello, Rick.
Good morning, Richard. How are you today?
I'm doing well, and you?
I am doing fine, thank you. Started off the morning with a couple recordings and getting organized for the afternoon session here. Thursday is always a hectic day, but it's always fun. And
busy man.
Yeah, it seems like it. I try to do most of the video on one day, so I only have to get dressed one day. The rest of the week, I can be Florida casual, but I have to put on at least from the waist up, like, adult clothes today. So I am... I am in position now. I am not seeing you. I assume the camera is off.
Let me, there we go. That should do it now.
And
how are we doing?
There we go. I don't know if it turns itself off each time. Now, while I'm thinking about it, I'm going to start recording on this end. So you'll see the picture probably jump for a second and it'll come back. There we go. So I am recording all of the audio, all of the video. I feel like a pilot here with my checklist going down to make sure I've got everything lined up so I don't screw this up. I always live in fear. Halfway through the interview, this is going so well, I hope I'm recording this. So we're actually, everything is recording today. I haven't done that in a while, but I lose sleep at night thinking about having to go back and redo that. So we are in good shape. Picture looks good again.
All right, good.
And I'm thinking if you can maybe pull the camera down just a little bit. I've got quite a bit of headspace. So if you can drop it just a little bit.
Move closer.
Actually, if you move closer, that works out even better. Yep, that's perfect. That'll give Otto room to go ahead and do what he's going to do in terms of editing. And like I said, the video, we'll get out to you probably in a couple of days, but the audio I'll get off to you tomorrow. Might even be able to do it tonight if things work out well. So I will get that to you as quickly as possible. We are recording everything here. Again, I'm just checking everything to make sure I'm all set. How is my audio? Are you hearing me okay?
I'm hearing you just fine.
Okay, and your audio looks good as well here. We've got some sunshine. It looks like you have some sunshine there today as well.
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
It just stopped sleeting, as a matter of fact.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Slushing or whatever they call it.
Okay, well, I don't miss that at all.
Frozen rain.
I don't miss that at all. So you've had the sort of both worlds there, Florida and Massachusetts. So you've had a little bit of
that. That's true. I went. I moved to Florida because when I graduated from the University of Massachusetts, I had a sports coat, and that's all I had in terms of winter weather gear.
Oh, geez. Yeah. You know,
I was the definition of a struggling student.
Yeah, I know exactly how that is. Well, I just, I'm so looking forward to this. The time will go by quickly. We've got, like I said, the 18 to 20 minute window there, and we will move through things. I have, boy, my allergies. That's one thing down here. You have allergies year round. It's not like spring stuff because nothing dies down here. So you've got it.
Yeah, that's true. I remember.
You've got it year round. Now, if you could just adjust a little bit, I'm sort of cutting you off in the chin on that one picture. And if you can drop that camera down just a little, well, actually, okay.
I'm not seeing whether it makes a difference dropping the camera down, does it?
Okay,
there we go.
Yeah, there we go.
How's that?
Yeah, that's better there. And I know it's pretty hard to hold that position, but and you don't have to. We're good now. That gives us plenty of room, and we'll put the insert in under that. And I am all set here. Everything is looking good. If you are all set, I will go ahead and do a silent 3-second countdown. I'll let you know when that's going to start. I'll come back, do an introduction, and then we will chat. And I'm going to start my silent 3-second countdown now. Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, this week in America. In a future where individuals and corporations rival governments in wealth and power and medical research can be weaponized, well, what fate lies ahead? In a world where the corporate structure has replaced the bonds that were once shared in our human family, what will the future hold for us? The highly praised futuristic thriller The Amherst Protocol by Richard Whitney suggests one possible outcome as oligarchs wrestle for control of it all. Richard Whitney, Ph.D., a native Floridian, presently resides in Massachusetts, where his family has lived for 13 generations. He's worked in the field of mental health since graduating from the University of Massachusetts. Dr. Whitney obtained a master's degree from the University of Miami before completing his Ph.D. at Nova Southeastern University. Throughout his career, he specialized in working with children and families, which continued upon specializing in forensic psychology. His book, The Amherst Protocol, was inspired by his study of the human motivation, his understanding of human relationships, and the impact of 9/11 on his youngest clients. Richard Whitney, author of The Amherst Protocol, is with us on This Week in America. Richard, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for doing this with me.
Well, this is great. I love this story, and you've done such an excellent job with this. And, you know, in reading the bio, it says you've been a practicing psychologist for the past 30 years. This is your first book. Why now? What was the motivation to publish this book, to tell the story?
Well, to summarize, it would be 9/11. Certainly that affected us all very greatly, and I watched as the children had to struggle with it most of all, and I began to think about what other things could be coming down the pike in terms of what we've got to deal with as we struggle to find ourselves as a human family.
What is the year that the Amherst Protocol is set? What time frame are we talking about? I talked about futuristic. What time span are we looking at?
Oh, well, I set it in 2043. That's about, 20 years from now, a little over 20 years from now?
Yeah.
So it's not so distant that we can all say, okay, that, you know. I try to keep it as an expansion of what a possible future that we can relate to.
Well, and it is relatable. As you're reading the story of The Amherst Protocol, you can actually see these things happening that you're talking about there. The book itself is unique, somewhat unusual, and some would probably say grim in the presentation you're making. Was there something that prompted to choose this area, this style of writing?
Well, in the style of writing, I'm not sure. I try to think of myself as being someone who would emulate Hemingway, but my friends all say I'm too wordy for that. But in terms of the genre, I think we all look for interesting stories, stories that will engage us and pull us in. So I try to give a human side to it, as well as reminding us that there are desperate people out there, and greedy people, and people with few principles, and who will pretty much do anything to get what they want.
It's so believable. The book is The Amherst Protocol by Richard Whitney. We can see these things transpire and maybe society go in this direction. We'll talk during the course of the interview about where he sees society and technology in particular in 20 years from now. The main character in the book, Clayton Tucker, is colleagues at the Dallas Observer. You've got a reporter as a main character. Talk about how you selected that for the main character.
My decision was fairly easy. I've always had great admiration and respect for the Fifth Estate, as it was once called.
Yes.
Because they they keep us honest, or at least they used to. One begins to wonder even now whether they can be as independent as they used to be.
Exactly, yes.
I think I'm trying to in the book, set up the character, Clayton Tucker, as an independent reporter who is going to look into all the dark corners and recesses that he has to make sure that we understand what's going on around us. It keeps the Fifth Estate, media has always been the check on our government, so that we can stay informed about what our government is doing in our name. So that was why I basically went that way. I've always had great admiration for reporters.
Well, and Clayton is a very interesting figure. We're talking, if you're just joining us, about the book, The Amherst Protocol by Richard Whitney. The book is available at all Amazon sites, Barnes & Noble, Page Turner's Bookstore, Chapters Indigo in Canada, Waterstones in the UK, Booktopia in Australia, New Zealand. No matter where you live in the world, you have access to the Amherst Protocol, and you will enjoy the story that Richard is telling. Some would say this is a critique of American culture, and I sort of, I guess, alluded to that, where we see our culture going. Talk about that aspect of your book, The Amherst Project.
Yes, it is a critique. I've watched over my career as there's been assault on the very bonds that hold us together as humans. Our modern culture seems to drive us apart rather than bring us together, not merely as groups of people within our society, but even families. In no other time, since the 1940s it began, where families, grew up together and suddenly we're miles and miles and miles apart, and the bonds break down, and we have to wander around trying to figure out who we are and where our place is in the world, and we latch on to things and occupations as defining characteristics. And I'm not sure that's the best. So that's kind of where I'm trying to, part of what I'm trying to say in the book. And part of what I'm trying to say is reliance on corporate structures may not always be the best thing for us to do.
Well, it's interesting, and I'm sure you see this, the culture change before your eyes in the years that you've been practicing and dealing with children, in dealing with families. It's interesting. You say now we may be miles apart. If we're together, we may even be miles apart. When you look at families out waiting at a restaurant, and I know other people have made this observation, but you see them, they're all individually on their devices, and nobody is communicating. I mean, it's out there, and we rely on the corporations, the big corporations, for the internet, for Facebooking, for all of those aspects of it. The book is The Amherst Project Protocol by Richard Whitney, our guest on the program. You have some observations on race relations in the book. How do you feel they will go in? It looks like you're thinking they may not improve in the future. Went through a period where I thought they were. Now I'm not sure. Where do you see race relations going?
Well, that's a difficult question, Rick. I was a young man in the 60s and early 70s when the civil rights movement really got us to where we needed to be.
Yes.
And since then, it's been a very slow and arduous process. And I don't see the advancement for non-white communities moving as quickly as I think it would behoove us to have it move, because it improves us all, in my opinion. I think, unfortunately, as I say in the book, it's going to be a matter of time, common interest, and patience that basically it'll move forward as we are able to let go of the old time. If it looks like me, then it's good, and if it doesn't, then it's bad.
Yes.
We still suffer with that idea, and I think over time, you know, we can let that go and we'll move forward as that happens. I know that sounds simplistic, but, I try and think of, I found that human motivation, despite our many symbolisms and our complex ways of describing things and creating all these motivation is fairly simple. I think it's a lot more simple than we may think of it. I know it sounds fatalistic, but I really think it's going to be a matter of time and common interests that will bring us together.
Richard Whitney is our guest on This Week in America. The book is The Amherst Protocol. I'll mention again, basically wherever books are sold, I'll direct you to pageturner.us in their bookstore, of course, available at Amazon, the usual places. In the book, you created the American Workers' Party. Are you anti-capitalism? Some would look at that and think that. Talk about creating that labor party.
Well, no. Let me make it very clear. I'm a capitalist. I have no problem with the capitalist system. In fact, it's a product of our revolution. Culturally, it's just a natural evolution that we do our commerce that way. The American Workers Party I created because back when I started writing this thing, I began to see the Democratic Party kind of falling into a pattern where there were disparate parts of the party, and so I envisioned how the Democratic Party would ultimately begin to divide, and part of it would move away and perhaps mingle with disaffected Republicans who are not so far to the right, managing in the process to repeal the Taft-Hartley Act from, I think it was 1948, which outlawed the American Labor Party, interestingly enough. How they can outlaw a political party, I'm not sure, but in any event, they did. They repealed Taft-Hartley, they formed the American Labor Party, so that the government doesn't have to take care of us. Unions, which are better regulated, and believe me, they define much different than they are. People are afraid of unions because of the rampant greed and corruption that occurred over the 40s, 50s, and 60s. So that people are afraid of unions, but they can be revised so that they can both work with companies to improve the company and to make sure the people who are taking care to working for that company are also taken care of. In any event, the American Workers Party is just a projection that I had from what I was seeing going on in the Democratic Party.
Richard Whitney, the author of The Amherst Protocol, our guest on the program. Boy, time is going by so quickly. I mentioned one of the lead characters, Clayton Tucker, the reporter. You also have a Senator Hastings, an interesting character. Talk a little bit about how you entered him into the story.
Well, Senator Hastings is the segue to my follow-up on the Amherst Protocol. I've already kind of begun a couple of different pieces for inclusion, a follow-up book. But Senator Hastings is the head of the American Labor Party. He's also involved with this individual I call Father. And I'm going to introduce you to Father a bit more in the next book, but that individual is someone who is looking out for the human bond, the bonds that support us emotionally, spiritually, in the ways that family bonds used to. Senator Hastings is the way in which those concepts will be introduced into our cultural, societal, and governmental norms a bit more.
In the book,
but again, that's for future piece.
Well, and I'm looking forward to that, and fans of the Amherst Protocol will be excited to hear that there will be a sequel, and we'll wrap that up again in a few minutes as the interview is over, and let people know that that will be out there, and where you can get your copy, by the way, of what's out there now, the Amherst Protocol. A number of female characters in the book, they seem to be sort of in insubordinate roles. Why is that? Where do you see this whole situation going in the next 20, 25 years?
Well, I have to say I didn't write strong women because I'm not a woman, and I'm not sure that I can project. I have to study that more, and I'm going to have to consult with any number of, and I'm probably going to hear it from my female friends for having just said that. But in any event, I don't feel like I had enough to really create the kind of strong. I mean, I have a couple of characters in the Amherst Protocol that I want to build up more, but I haven't really been able to find that in me to be able to write a strong female character, and you know that's my failing, but you know I it's something I'm looking to find a way to do. I envision the next installation to have a much stronger female presence. So again, that was just in writing the book, I wasn't ready as a writer, as a person, to be able to project,
yes,
without projecting my maleness into a female character.
Richard Whitney, our guest in the program, a couple minutes left, talking about his book, The Amherst Protocol. Talk a little bit about the view of marriage, male-female relationships that you have in the Amherst Protocol. Some would say maybe a little bit unusual. Talk about how you developed those.
Well, the marital relationship stops being a formal declaration of a contract. It's more a declaration of a bond and a mutual understanding of support and a connection with that person that you can put aside. You will, when asked, put aside your needs for that person. It's more of a statement of I'm here for you rather than I own you, which much of our marital constructs are based on that model from medieval times, when you know the bride was presented, a dowry was exchanged, and the woman became the property of the man. You know, that's we've challenged that the last 40 or 50 years, and we're still struggling with it. I work in a field where I see that struggle every day. So we still struggle with it, but I'm hoping that in the next 20 years we can evolve to a point where, you know, we are in a relationship as partners. There, as I said to somebody recently, in discussing this with one of my female colleagues, you know, I try to treat women as if they're my partner in a mutual endeavor, i.e. getting through life. And rather than, you know, deciding who owns who's one up in the relationship. I mean, it's always a power differential on any relationship, which you have to address at some point. But to consciously try to eliminate in the relationship, and that's what a marriage of the kind in the book is about. And you'll see Clayton struggling with that because he's still on the old model, and his companion, Pam, is familiar with the newer model.
No, it's interesting, and I got another question here, then we're going to run out of time, and we need to do this again. There's so much we can talk about. Your real-life background in psychology gives you such insight into where we may be shifting as a society, as a culture, which gives great validity to your book, The Amherst Protocol. Montana, who is father, all of these other issues, I have a feeling a lot of these will develop in the sequel. When do you think that will be available for us?
It only took me 10 years to write this one. I'm hoping that I'm going to have the next one out within the next year or two. Okay. I mean, you know, I still have a day job I got to deal with.
Well, that, yes, but these thoughts obviously on your mind. You've done such an excellent job in developing the thesis for this book, The Amherst Protocol. It's available at all Amazon sites, Barnes & Noble, Page Turner's Bookstore, Chapters Indigo in Canada, Waterstones in the UK, Booktopia in Australia and New Zealand. A lot more information, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I mentioned Page Turner. I know you've worked with them in this project. What has that relationship been like for you in working with them and helping get the message out there of the book, The Amherst Protocol?
Well, I have to say it's been a good relationship. I mean, it's been contentious at times because I'm particularly tedious person to work with when it comes to correcting my work.
Yes.
or making sure the work, you know, so that was a process. But in terms of getting the word out, I'm pleasantly surprised that we're doing this. Apparently, they're setting up a website just for the book. You're telling me that it's on sale in Australia? This is the first I'm hearing of it.
It's
worldwide,
and it's always interesting to get a look at the other side of writing a book. That's the creative process is one side. This whole marketing thing is a whole different venture out there, and the book's available where all those places that I listed. And if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to Page Turner and get information on the book. It's the highly praised futuristic thriller, The Amherst Protocol. Our guest, Richard Whitney. Richard, a pleasure having you on the program. When you get the sequel ready, we'll have you back and talk about that as well. Excellent job with this. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Well, thanks for doing this with me, Rick.
I've really enjoyed this. Richard Whitney, our guest. The book is The Amherst Protocol. Books available wherever books are sold, basically around the world. You can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages. That went by way too quickly. That was fun. Nice job. Thank you for that.
Well, thanks. I thought I stumbled a couple of times, but so tone came out of right.
That's actually real life. That's absolutely not a problem, and I didn't notice anything there. That was just a conversation talking about the book. I did an excellent job, and I will get the audio off to you within 24 hours, and then the video shortly thereafter, and we will stay in touch. And thank you so much for doing this. It's been a pleasure meeting you this way over the internet, and hopefully we can do this again.
That sounds good to me.
Okay.
I guess I got it right. The sequel.
Yeah, I was trying to pin you down there, and you were a little elusive, so that's good.
I've got a new house that I'm trying to rehab, so once that gets done, then I'm going to get back into it.
Perfect. Well, we'll stay in touch. I'll get these links off to you, and thank you again for everything. Enjoy the rest of the day, and it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Stop recording. Okay.